I'm going to turn you off so we don't be sluggish tonight, amen. How can you soar with eagles when you do what? Walk with turkeys. Let's let the turkeys be gone. Amen. I'm going to dismiss the children at this time. Amen. So good to see Sister Devin. Amen. I keep your memory alive. Every once in a while, I call it Divina Devin A on purpose. She don't get too mad, but she does look funny. But nevertheless, amen. We just thank God. Amen. Blessing her to be here with us. Amen. God is a good God. How many know God is a good God?
Amen.
Yeah, I know. We might be able to pray, she can go here and sing some song, but you don't work it out. Amen. But nevertheless, we just bless the Lord and we thank God for all his time. Amen. Somebody said, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank God enough for his goodness. And I couldn't thank God enough for his mercy. And all that he's done for me, amen. And I just thank God, hallelujah, for all that he's done, amen. We thank God for this time of Thanksgiving. But I thank the Lord 365 days a year. Amen. Thanksgiving is good because it gives us a time for family to get together, amen. Friends and loved ones all to get together. But we should be thankful every day that we live for all that God has done. Things he keep us away from. And when you listen to the news, there's so many catastrophes and disasters. And the Bible said evil men waxing worse and worse, but nevertheless, we thank God. Tonight, we're going to deal with our subject. It's going to be the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Amen. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 1. Actually, we were going to bring this out earlier in one of our other Bible studies, but time did not permit. And actually, I really gotten away from it. I was going to prepare something else. But as I was preparing, I actually found an old article on the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of the spirit of wisdom and knowledge that was written by Bishop G.T. Haywood in 1922. Amen. I said, well, Lord, then I'll just stay right there. Amen. So we're going to ask you to stand tonight. We're dealing with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm going to read some of his excerpts. He is one of the four founding fathers of the apostolic faith in the United States. Amen. And he wrote this article back in 1922, which is almost 100 years from today. But God's word never changes. It remains the same. Amen. So we're going to read in Ephesians, for the sake of time, because I do have a lot of scripture, let's read verses 17 through 19 of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, amen. And like I said tonight, the most important thing that we need to understand God's will and purpose in our lives. Amen. A lot of times we think that we're just here, we just happen to be in church. But if you're in church, God has a call on your life. Whether you choose to accept it or not, that's you. But every time God saves us, he places a call on our lives. That's why the Bible said many are called. Right? So if you're called, you're chosen because you're in church. Amen. Do we all have it? Okay, we're going to start off reading, like I said, and then I'm going to actually go to other parts. Let's just read 17 through 19, and then we'll come back and touch some of that. Amen, do you have it? All right, 17 first read. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Once again, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And may the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word. And the church said, the word of the Lord bless already. You may be seated. Amen. And portions of Bishop G.T., the late Bishop G.T. Haywood's, it was one of the articles that he wrote in the, I think it was for the, back then it was called The Voice in the Wilderness. And it was 1922. Amen. And one of the things he said was, you know, when you think about being in church, it's so important. He said, now, this is how salvation and God's word should be to us. You know, a lot of times we make God's word a little separate from salvation, and so we can do what we want to do or how we want to do it. And I even read, he said he was such a fanatic on the word of God, all of his ministers had to read through the Bible 6 times per year. All of his ministers. If you are an elder minister in his church, you have to read through the Bible 6 times in a year. Don't that sound like a good policy to adopt? Amen. I'm trying. I say 6 times in a year. You know, when you read that, the word of God, that much, it becomes a part of you. But he said, and this is the parallel that he drew, how the word of God should be in us. Now, how many of us have to think when we get ready to eat food? Do you have to think to chew? No. Do you have to think to breathe? If you want to go somewhere, do you have to think, now, how am I going to walk? It's automatically a part of you, right? Because it's a part of your life. That's a part of your being. So you don't have to teach someone how to breathe. Amen. I'm not talking about babies. Now, we're talking about adults. How many of you are adults? Paul said, we're not speaking to babies, man. We're speaking to the grown and mature adults in Christ. So we don't have to teach you to eat, right? We don't have to teach you to walk. If you're ready to go somewhere, somebody don't have to teach you how to open the door, because it's a part of your what? Your life. Amen? Come on, shake that turkey off. I guess, well, I don't know. I guess I'm going to say Jamaican. You ever shake that jerk turkey? What's that jerk? What is that? Chicken. And all that stuff, all right. But what I'm saying, nobody has to teach you to do the mundane elementary things. He said the word of God should be like this in our life. It should be such a part of us that we should instinctively do what God says. Instinctively. You know, we should have to say, well, what does God want me to do? It should be an instinct, just like eating, just like walking, just like breathing. It's a part of your life. The most important part of our life is salvation and going to heaven. So isn't that when you really think of it, sort of like a paradox of irony? We can do the natural thing so instinctive, but we struggle so much when it comes to the what? Spiritual things, amen? That's why we want to know more about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, amen? So that when someone sees us, they say, no, we know they're saved. They always do what God would have them to do. Now, none of us are perfect, so we will have our shortfalls, our shortcomings, but they should be far and few in between. They should dominate so much. So we're dealing tonight with the spirit of wisdom, and but we know the Bible says wisdom is the what? The principal thing, and then all again, we should get an understanding. So we know we need wisdom. Wisdom, where knowledge is knowing about God. Wisdom is putting that knowledge into application. So knowledge is knowing about God, but wisdom is putting that knowledge into application or putting it into action. Amen? That's what would be wisdom. Now, we all have a knowledge of God, but the question is, how many of us put that knowledge into application or actions? Amen. The spirit of wisdom and knowledge. So verse 17, let's go there for 1 minute. Back to Ephesians 1:17. And it's so amazing that Paul writes this to the Ephesian church. But then if you go to Colossians chapter 1, he almost mirrors the same message to the Colossians church. The spirit of wisdom. Now, to the church of Ephesus, he calls it the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But to the Colossian church, he says the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Because knowledge, this word revelation means the communication of knowledge to the soul. The Greek word for revelation means the communication of knowledge to the soul. Now, once again, it should be an instinct. You know, we all have our human, you know, frailties, our faults. but they should be far and few between. We should always want to embody Christ. And the reason he said he had his ministers go through the Bible so many times because he wanted the Bible to become a part of them. Not by thinking, not by trying to figure out, but by instinct. He said, just like breathing, just like walking, just like talking, it should be automatic. Shouldn't that be our greatest desire? Automatically, instinctively to do the God thing. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Actually, before we go there, go to verse 15 first, before we go to 17. Amen. And all I'm getting tonight, we want to get a what? Because being saved is so important. And salvation is not dependent on what we think. And we're going to go over that a little bit when we get to Isaiah chapter 11. Being saved is about what we think. Because if salvation was dependent on what we think, guess what? We have a whole lot of different salvations. Because we've got a whole lot of different minds. That's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in. It's amazing how we can quote words from God, scriptures, but then we can act diametrically opposed to what the Bible says. We will instinctively do opposite instead of doing what God requires. Now on Sunday, we did touch on this a little bit. The reason that we act opposite is Jude said, when ye be loved, on what? Building up yourselves on your, and that is what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. And Paul tells the church of Corinthians, now we're trying to figure out, why do we instinctively do the wrong thing? It's not so much the wrong thing, but why do we instinctively do the things of the world instead of the things of God? Amen. So that we're not dealing with what's right, what's wrong. Either we do it God's way or we do it the world's way. There's no in between. Amen. So why don't we instinctively do it God's way instead of doing it the world's way? Y'all want to stay with me, right?
Yes.
Do we need to set up and do a couple of religious, spiritual jumping jacks? Amen. Instinctively, I mean, I'm trying to throw courage in and make a smile. I'm serious. Why do we instinctively do things the world's way instead of God's way? Because we're not building up ourselves on our most holy faith, what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Then he tells the church of Corinthians, he said that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what? Edify himself. Amen. And speaking in an unknown tongue, we do not understand what we're speaking. How being in the spirit, the Bible says we speak mysteries. We don't understand. So when we pray in the Holy Ghost, then Paul said, I pray in the tongue, in the ink, in the spirit, I pray in the understanding. So we didn't say just pray all in tongues. Amen. But you can pray in both. Paul said, I sing in the spirit, and I sing with the understanding. I pray in the spirit, and I pray with the understanding. But then he said, I pray in tongues. Than you are. And he was the greatest of all the apostles. So the question is, why do we instinctively, when we've been in church for a long time, why do we instinctively do the worldly faith I had with a worldly mind instead of a godly mind? Why? It says, likewise, also helpeth our, the reason that we, that our weaknesses, our infirmities, our shortcomings manifest themselves because we don't pray enough. If you hear the English issue, if you pray, then you develop the mind of God. That's why Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He said, I want the chiefest behind one of those apostles. Yet still, in his frailties and weaknesses, God blessed him because of his spiritual life to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. Because he had a prayer life. His prayer life. And you know, when you read Paul's writing, a lot of Paul's writing mirror the writings of the Old Testament. But how did he know it? He had to do what? Study. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved. Now, we do study, but we're not studying the right things. We're studying people. We're studying their habits, their mannerisms. How about studying about Christ? Amen. Paul said, if you do these things, you have not so learned Christ. Tonight, we're trying to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? Him. Amen. So, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we are, but the Spirit itself maketh. What is said? Now, when you pray in the Spirit of God that's in you is making intercession to God above you for your weaknesses. The reason that your weaknesses manifest themselves is because we do not pray. Good intentions will not get you there. Amen. Fighting, you know, a lot of times we say, just will yourself there. Paul tells the Colossian church, it's not by willpower. Amen. It is by willpower. He says, that, you know, touch not, taste not, handle not. He says, this will all perish with use. Amen. But then he goes on to say that will worship is not enough. Because will worship is what you can do. Y'all gonna help me? Will worship is what you can do. Hallelujah. But when you start doing it God's way, that means you have developed a mind of surrender. Amen. And sometimes we need to just say, Lord, the reason the Bible has it in there is to judge yourselves. Amen. If you judge yourselves, you will not need to be judged. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the. There's only one faith. We need to take some private time. I don't need nobody else to judge me. I want to judge myself. But the Spirit, when we learn to pray, will make intercessions according to the will of God. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes an intercession for the saints. But prior to that, he said, we do not know what to pray for. That's why it's important that we pray in the Spirit. Amen. Which mind governs us? Which mind dominates us? Which mind really controls us? Amen. We all have weaknesses. We all have shortcomings. But my God, they should be every day. They should be on a regular basis. And sometimes you need to step aside and say, you know, I'm so tired of seeing myself in this world doing it my way. How are we going to go to heaven doing it our way? Amen. You can only go to heaven doing it God's way. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden because they were doing it. And they weren't doing it. Well, what helped them not to do things God's way? Listening to their own voices. Well, when you get a spiritual prayer life, you can hear God speaking. Amen. You know it's God. You won't know. You want to guess. Well, who's speaking? Is it God? Isn't it God? And where am I getting this mind from? Amen. Okay, let's go to verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 1. And I try to go fast enough, yet slow enough, so that we can get it. Amen. That's the most important thing. Actually, let's start off in verse 11. And if in your spare time, read verses 1 through 10 up to 11 so you have a greater understanding of what we're going through. Are you with me?
Yes.
Verse 11 reads, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Now, this isn't what it means predestined. It means foreknowledge or being foreordained. Amen. We don't believe in predestination. No matter how you live, it's going to be this way. That's not what that scripture means. Predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all, who worketh what?
All.
If you're going through it, God is allowing it, so he's working all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the
praise of
glory. We want to be to the praise of the glory who what?
First
trusted in Christ. So the latter part of verse 11 says, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. There are many times we question God. God permits things to happen his way. Amen. Paul tells the Hebrew brethren, he said, God will have mercy. Only will have mercy. And then God will turn around and have judgment on whom he will have judgment after his own will. The problem that we have when we start doing judgment, if we're not doing it according to God's will, we're doing it according to and our minds, right? That your will, your mind can be diametrically opposed to what God wants you to do. That's why it's important that we let God work his counsel according to his will. Amen. That's why you pray. You know what you pray? Jesus gave us the most perfect example of prayer and surrender. When he was in the garden, right? First he said, Lord, let this cup, let it pass from me. You know what Jesus was saying? Flesh don't like to suffer. Flesh didn't want to surrender. Flesh wanted to do it, right? Then he told his disciples, said, watch and pray. I'm going to show you how to get victory. Amen. So he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Then finally he said, nevertheless, not, but that, that's the prayer of surrender. Lord, teach us to surrender. Lord, teach us to do it your way. Because when you surrender, you do it your way, no matter what anybody, even a demon in hell, tells you. You say, I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. And I only do things for God to be glorified. I'm tired of fighting God. Amen. So he said, according to the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of whose glory? And when you have to start off, first on what? Do you trust Christ? If you trust Christ, you say, you know what? I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know it's going to be to the praise. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I trust Christ, and he has assured me that when I do it his way, according to his will, it's going to be to the praise of... Don't you try to get the glory. Just let it be to the praise of his glory, amen, whom he also trusted after he heard the word of trust Christ. What? How many of us really trust him? Now this is personal, amen. Nobody has to make this decision for you. I had a pastor tell me once, not one that you all know, so don't try to figure this out, all right? Okay, you know, sometimes you repeat something, you're like, oh, I don't know. You don't know who this is. A pastor said, I know what God wills for you, and I'm going to tell you what his will is. I said, okay. After he finished telling me, I said, yeah, that's good, but I still want to hear it for myself. You know, because if I had done what this pastor told me to do, I wouldn't be here. Right now. Because this pastor said, why do you keep delaying on this offer that I made you to come in this ministry, and you can work and everything will be easy? I'll move you, I'll house you, I'll do everything. He said, why are you praying about it? He said, you don't have to pray about it. I'm going to tell you what his will is for you. I'm glad I had a prayer life. And I heard something said, be still and know that I'm God. How many of us have a prayer life? Now, I'm not saying I was perfect. I made all the right decisions. Amen. But I know what he wanted me to do is what God wanted me to do. Even though he was spiritual, even though he was a leader, even though he was all of that, that was not what God wanted me to do. So we have to develop a prayer life so that we don't get influenced by what others are doing. But we make the right decision for ourselves, amen? After you first what? Trusted in Christ and heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of. You know what the Holy Ghost is? Now, some of y'all buying houses. Any of y'all buying houses? Some of y'all buying houses. Anybody bought a house? The earnest of the inheritance is this. It's a down payment in advance. Like we put the down payment on the church almost 2 years ago, right? That was our earnest in the inheritance. So your earnest in the inheritance means that God gave you the Holy Ghost till he comes back to get you. So every time the devil tells you a lie that you can't make it, hallelujah, you speak in tongues and say, Now, Paul's writing to the Ephesian church. He said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto you, he said, I heard about you. You know, they had, that means they had a spiritual life. They had a testimony. Amen. He said, that cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That, now, what is he praying for? Now, he's heard of their faith. Amen. He's heard of the love unto all the saints. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you and pray. Well, what are you praying for? That God will do what? God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of, may give you the. They already saved. He already doing something. But God said, Paul told me, he said, but you need a greater revelation. You need the wisdom to put what God is giving you in, put it into practice. Amen. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, they already seen, right? He's going to write to the world, right? He's writing to who? He said, now you already, I heard of your faith. I heard of your faithfulness. I heard of your love. He said, and I thank God for that, but now I'm praying for God to give you something greater. Right. You can't just stay there. You start off as a baby, but you got to get off the milk, and it's time for you to get into the. He says, some of us are being taught, but we should be the teachers because we're not born. He said, so now I'm praying, amen, verse 18 said, the eyes, wisdom is a principal thing, but we got to get some, that the eyes of your understanding may be to the who? To the church, right? You can't stay where you've been. You need a greater spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You can't just sit. Well, I've been like this. It's time for you to get out of you. Right? It's time for the church to be to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. But people see this, well, why you want just be to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Lord, if you don't want to praise Him, don't you hinder me. You don't want to lift Him up because He's been good. Don't you get in my way. Because God has been too good. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of. See, that's the worst problem with most of us. We try to figure out what our calling is. God, open my eyes. Give me some understanding so I know what you want, the hope of His calling, right in you. But He's writing this to the who? Church. Because He needs them to have a greater spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Amen. The script, we can quote this scripture that the path of the just is like a what? It shines more and more into the what? Now the question, and this is a personal thing, look at your light, right? You're supposed to have greater wisdom, greater revelation and knowledge of Him. And is your light shining more and more until the perfect day, or is your light diminishing? Are you doing things God's way or the world's way? We're going to go to that in a few minutes, amen? And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the... What is he? He's writing this to the church. I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power and to what? And also, who first? Believe. When you believe, you got some power according to the working of His mighty power. You know, He said that, oh, you've been saved. But now I want you to find out what the Holy Ghost can do. when you surrender and let God have his way. It's not about us, but it's all about. It's not about what I can accomplish, but it's about what God can do in me for the praise of. So the next time you do something, let Lord, you be glorified. I don't need no glory. I don't need no praise. I need the Lord to be glorified. Now there is more than one wisdom. Isn't there more than one wisdom? Amen. I think I didn't get this one, but let's go to James chapter 1. James tells us real fast. We go here, but we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to James chapter 1. There's a wisdom of this world, and then there is the wisdom of God. Amen. Now we want to deal with the different types of wisdom for just 1 minute here. The wisdom, we don't want that one that's sensual and devilish. We want the wisdom that cometh down from where? The wisdom that cometh down from above. Amen. I know it's in here somewhere. 17, okay. Let's go to 3 and 17.
3, 14, 13,
13. All right. Let's go to 13. That's it. We know it's in there somewhere. Amen. Now this is what he said, and we're going to find he asked the same question a little later. He said, who is a wise man and endure with what? Let him show out of a, that means your conduct, the way you carry yourself, the way you handle yourself, his words with the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory and lie not. So when you had all this mess in your heart and say lie against, who said that? I didn't say it. That's the word of God. Right? All this envy and bitterness and all this foolishness. He said, that's no glory in God. That's a lie against the truth. He said, this wisdom is not from above, but is what? Earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now, there's the wisdom of God, and then there's the wisdom of sensual, meaning you just get all emotional and come up in you. Right? Devilish. Sensual and devilish. So this wisdom is not from who? God. And we just try to help us see ourselves the way the Lord sees us. Amen? He said, what envying, strife, there is. Where there is envying. And strife, go back. Envy is talking about jealousy. And jealousy can be, this is a two-part jealousy. Jealous because I don't have what you have, and then jealous because God blessed you and didn't bless me. Right? So when there's envy and strife, there is an every evil work, but the wisdom that is from above is the first, well, why? Because only the pure in heart shall see God. Then, we're trying to identify the right wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. Amen? Y'all can write this down. This is a good checklist. Say, well, I want to find out what kind of wisdom I have. Is it pure? Paul tells the church, writes to Titus, he says, unto the pure, all things are pure. A person that's on God's side, like Paul said, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. So they expect the best out of even a bad situation because the praise is to the glory of God. Right? But when you're all sensual and devilish, when somebody, even when they do good, here, I don't want to use that word. That might go back too far, right? Even when somebody does something good, you can't see the good in it. Paul calls it evil surmising. Evil surmising means you're always suspicious in an evil way. So even when someone is doing something to bless and help you, what's wrong with this? That's not God. That mind is not first pure. And you can be guaranteed when a person's not pure, you don't have no peace. You know, the Bible says, seek peace and it says, well, I tried to do my best. I'm finished with that. That's not what God says, right? God says, seek peace and then pursue it, I mean, you got to chase after peace. Let everybody be a bunch of hellions around you, but you make peace. Amen. This is what the Bible says. You make peace. Follow holiness with all men and peace without. So you got to be holy, but you got to have some. But when there's confusion and every evil work, that is not the Spirit of God. Gentle and easy to be. Say, anybody can come up to me and help, and they ask for help, right? Because I'm easy to be in. Now, like, we're trying to be like who? God. There's the mind of the world, and there's the mind. Come on, y'all, you understand with me, right? Easy to be. You know what? I have not made myself unapproachable. Because I'm easy. Well, we're trying to identify the wisdom that's from where? Now, anything that's opposite of this wisdom that is from above is the wisdom that's from, right? Somebody said, well, I didn't come to church with this. If you want to be saved, you got to do it God's way. Amen. We've done things our way for so long. You know, God has worked on me, like I said, through the years. God has worked to change a whole lot. Every once in a while, I get a flashback. Right? The good thing about a flashback, I don't let it stay there. That flashback let me know you got to work on a little bit more. Amen. Like I said, my wife and I were somewhere the other day. I had a temporary flashback, but I got out of it. Amen. When the flashback came, I turned on a new light. That flash was gone. But you know, God allows certain circumstances and situations to happen in our lives so we can see the real us. Because we'll deceive ourselves. Amen. We think we're all right, and God will be saying, no, you ain't all right. I got some issues with you. So I'm allowing these things to happen so that you can see yourself. Somebody said, why don't things ever change? Because you haven't seen yourself. So God allows these things to manifest the real you. Amen. I better hurry up unless I need to get full. Either be, get, I never get finished. That's a full. I'm past full. I'm full from yesterday. I don't even need today. They made me a playlist, so I just see half of that. Amen. But we're talking about the wisdom that's from above. The most important thing is to be like God, man. Easy to be entreated, full of and. And this is a check, right? If you don't write nothing else down, so you know what? I want the wisdom from God. I want to be pure. I want to be peaceable. I want to be gentle, easily being treated, full of mercy and. This is where everybody goes. This is where, not everybody, this is where some of those people outside are going to run into problems right here. Without. Right? Because, you know what? When I look at everybody, I once read that Bishop G.T. Haywood said this. He said, how do you talk about your brother? How do you talk about your sister? How do you mistreat them when they got the Spirit of God? So the way you treat them is the way you treat. That'll help you out for now to do the right thing. The way you treat people, period, but especially those that are of the household, the way you treat them is the way you treat because they have God. Husband and wife the same way. You can't act any kind of way because they have God's Spirit. So the way you treat them is the way without partiality and without. If we can pass that test, we'll be all right. Amen. And the fruit of is sown. The fruit of what? Righteousness is right in the sight of. The fruit of righteousness is sown in. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Now we're just trying, we're trying to be right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Well, no, go to 11, then we'll go to Corinthians. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. We just, anybody want to just be saved and do it God's way? When you want to do things your way, you don't have to come to church. You can just do anything and do it your way. But isn't it important that we try to do things God instinctively? We shouldn't have to think about it. You know, we went to Doug's daughter's funeral the other day. And I think his daughter Julie got up and she spoke. She said it was an evil person to do what they did to my sister. She said, but in my heart, I have to forgive him. Right? And then some other family said, we have to forgive him because that's God's way. We talk about, she was murdered. She was stabbed, her neck almost cut off, stabbed in the torso, and they forgave her. They don't know who this is. They said, God won't release me till I forgive. How do we have so much trouble forgiving in church? Right? And we don't have that kind of loss. But we say we got the Holy Ghost. Just no charge. Verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 11 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem, and a branch shall grow out of his. And we know that's who? Jesus, right? Stem of Jesse, branch out of his root. And and this is what comes with the Spirit when you surrender, right? When you don't fight God, when the Spirit of the Lord rests, anybody have the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit of the Lord in you, right? Didn't Paul tell us, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his? And the Spirit of, so when you get the Holy Ghost, you get the Spirit of wisdom and it comes with the package. You don't have to find it. You have to surrender and submit to it, but you don't have to look for it. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of when you got the Holy Ghost, that should have been in it. Now, you know what fights that spirit if you don't want to surrender? You're still trying to do it your way. And shall make him of quick understanding to fear the Lord, and he shall not judge after. Right? You know, it's not by what you see. We're talking about doing things whose way? God's way, right? The sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the. You know, Jesus, when he was here, he said, I can't go by what it looks like, and I can't go by what it sounds like. I want to do it whose way? God's way. But with the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace, when the wisdom is from above. Amen. But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And what? Righteousness. Righteousness is in whose eyes? He said he couldn't do it according to his eyes, according to his hearing. He had to be whose way? God's way. Amen. Shall be the girdle of the belt of his loin, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, I didn't break my watch. And the clock in the back stopped. Oh, good God Almighty. My time is almost up. Amen. Nevertheless, we'll stay here for just 1 minute. You know, and the Lord willing, we will finish this up at another time. But we're trying to, tonight, is we're trying to get rid of our own mind. We're trying to get rid of doing things our own way. Amen. Actually, before we go here, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9, I believe verse 23 first, then we'll come back to 1 Corinthians. We go to Jeremiah chapter 9, I think it's verse 23, then we'll come here, because it's not only a couple here, but we got to spend a few minutes in Corinthians, and I don't want y'all to run out. I don't want y'all to run out only halfway through. All right, so let's go to 9 and go. Let's drop down to verse 23. All right, now we're still dealing with wisdom of God versus wisdom of this world. Amen. The wisdom of God versus the wisdom of this world. Verse 23 said, "Thus saith the Lord, let not Let the who? The wise man glory in. You know, a lot of people think they're so wise. God said, don't glory in his wisdom, because we as a church should be to the praise of his glory. Neither let the mighty man glory in his. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Now, in first world, that's about, it encompasses everything, right? Wisdom, riches, and might. That's the world system. Right? That's not God's system. But God said, don't glory in all of that. Amen. But let him that glory in, can we say in this?
Yes.
If you're going to glory, this is the only thing that counts in God's eyes, that he understand it and know me. God said, don't worry about, you worry about money and riches and might. You know, might is what, how you can get, what you, your name that you can get for yourself. And yeah, I'm wealthy. Yeah. I said, don't glory in that. Don't glory in what you have accomplished through your wisdom. Yes, get an education, but we're talking about the highest education you can get is the education of no God. That's the highest. Now, I'm not minimizing education because education is important. Amen. But he said, don't glory in that, but glory in this, and he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the law which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I. You want some delight in God? You know, he said, scripture says, I delight myself in the Lord. He'll give me the desires of my heart. He'll give you the desires if you know him. Because if you know him, you'll do what he says. And that's the most important thing. Now let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And actually there, we could go to Jeremiah chapter 18 when he's trying to get them to surrender, and they said, no, we're going to do it our way. Amen. How many, do y'all know that's in there? People have a nerve when God tried to get them to do the right thing. They said, nah, that's wasting my time. I want to do it my way. Y'all know that's in scripture? Y'all believe it? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. We'll go there one minute. Can we say free will? You got a few minutes left anyway, so you might as well take that little time. All right. But what I'm saying is this. We have developed so many of our own personal beliefs and systems that our own belief now, we're rivaling God. Amen. God has told us to do one thing, and we said, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen. We all know this is when Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. Amen. And then God is trying to show him, he said, listen, even though Israel is messed up, he said, I can do a new thing in them. All right. Let's go to verse 8. Let's go to verse 8. I'm going to show you, this is the truth. God is trying to change him. He took him down to the potter's house and said, even though the vessel was marred in his hand, he took it and remade it all over again. Because the first vessel was not to the praise of his glory. Amen. And God said, I don't like the way Israel is shaping, so I'm going to remake them. I'm going to reshape them. I'm going to give them another distinction that's better than the one they had. Amen. He said, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I repent of the evil that I thought. God said, just repent. I'll change what I have purposed for you. And at what instance I speak concerning a nation and concerning a, God said, the whole kingdom, to build and to plant it. Now God said, I'm going to bless you. I purpose I'm going to bless you, right? Amen. But what's going to hold back the blessing? If it do, then it obey not. Then when I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So in the first case, God said, now I spoke evil, but if they repent, I'll do them good. He said, but then I spoke good, and they went and did evil. He said, so that now I'm going to repent of the good that I would have done them. Amen. Therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus said. He said, tell them what I'm going to do. Amen. Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. He said, now the only way that you won't get this evil and this advice is I want you to do what? Return ye now, everyone. Don't do it your way. He said, I purpose to do this against you. Now the only way I won't do this is if you what? Turn from your evil way and make your ways and your doings. Now God just said, just don't, you know, a lot of times people say, I'm walking in the way, but what are you doing? Right? Make your ways and your. I know what you're saying, and I know how you talk, but what are you doing? Because what you do in God's sight is what makes the difference. Amen? And they said, can we read this together? I know. I want y'all to get weary. And they said, there he is. Wait a minute. God is telling you, you need to stop doing things your way. You need to surrender. You need to be on God's side. God said, I'm going to do this against you. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to devise evil against you because you're doing things your way. Isn't that enough for a change? It said, there is, but we will walk after our own, even though I hear what you say, I'm still going to do it. This is what it means. And we will walk everyone. And we will, everyone do the of his own evil heart. They said, Lord, there ain't no hope. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, as ye now among the heathen, who has? He said, even the people that ain't saved no better than that. You know that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get all kind of judgment. And you said, we don't want to learn what the Lord has to say. There's no hope. And we're going to continue doing what we have been doing. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll finish here. Amen? Tonight, if I were to make a gut check, and we all should be checking ourselves. Unrighteousness, evil, sin, and ungodliness will never make it to heaven. Amen? If you want to make it to heaven, you have to do it God's way. All right, let's go to our 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to skip down. Now, we read this a little earlier. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Amen. Let's go to verse 19. Verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the and bring to nothing the understanding of the. And he asked the same question that James asked about the wise. Right? Because the wise, in their own way, conflict with God. And that's why we read the not too long ago in Proverbs chapter 3, he said, be not wise in what? Your own eyes. Right? This is the wisdom. He's talking about the wisdom in your own eyes, and that's the wisdom of this world. Amen? Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, now we talk about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world, the world by wisdom do not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. Now let's go over to chapter 3 of the same 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we're trying to, Paul is, starts with verse 1 talking about the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of man, and doing things your way, and believe verse 1 9 and say, I have not seen, ye have not heard. He's trying to show them there's a difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this man, of this world. And verse 1 of chapter 3 says, and our brethren could not speak unto you as unto. Paul said, I couldn't speak. He's talking to who? The church. Say the church. He ain't talking to the world, he's talking to the church. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, as unto carnal, and even as unto. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able,
for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, when Paul uses these words, evil, strife, and division, the Greek word for each one of these is a Greek god or goddess. So he's telling, he said, when you do this, you're acting like a god or a goddess in conflict to God. Right? Each one of these three words, the Greek word for these words, if we wouldn't understand it, he said, you act like this god and this goddess. Right? That's what these three things, they represent the wisdom of this world. All right, now let's get down to down a little further. Verse 18. All right, it says, Let no man, if any man among you seem to be in this world, let him become a fool. A fool for who? Christ. A fool for Christ. He said, you might appear to be, don't deceive yourself. You might seem to be wise. You might seem to be something in this world. Let them be a fool for Christ. For the wisdom of this world is. So that's what we're trying to decide. Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, because if we don't have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of you, then we have the spirit of revelation, the wisdom, and the knowledge of this world, and that is foolishness unto God. All right, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness for God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are that wisdom of this world is in their vain. Therefore, let no man glory for all things or for your sake, and that finish up in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the abbreviated form, but we speak it far enough that we have something to think about. Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
I went over to someone. Let's go to verse 9. Read verses 1 through 8 on y'all, okay? It talks about how brethren are not to treat each other. Amen? Verse 9 reads, know ye not that thing? What makes a person unrighteous? When they don't do who? God's way. Right? Righteous is God's way. Unrighteous is your way. Our way. My way. Right? So, well, why did you do it? Because I didn't want to. Well, what does God say? You know, do we ever take some time and say, Lord, you know what? I've been doing things my way for so long, and they haven't gotten better. I'm going to take a Selah, a spiritual pause, and what do you want me to do? Am I going to continue to go with the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness to God? Am I going to go with the wisdom of God? But Paul said, please God, for the foolishness of preaching to save them that, the key word is what? Believe. Because if you believe me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. So when we believe God, we'll do what God said. When we don't believe God, we won't trust God. When we don't trust God, we do what we want to do. And that's the flip side. All right? No charge. I'm almost finished. Amen. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not. And this is what he classifies as unrighteousness. He said, don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers with themselves or mankind. He said, you know what? Let's deal with all this ungodly sexual perversion. He said, don't be deceived, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall what? He said, but thank God such were. But you have been baptized in Jesus' name. He said, he washed that away. Right? You've been washed. You have been. What sets us apart? The Holy Ghost.
You've been sanctified by His Spirit. Such were, not such are, but such. He's writing to who? The church. Don't be deceived. You can't do what you want to do in unrighteousness and think you're going to make the heaven. A lot of people are going to be deceived. Let me finish this, but then I tell you what I heard. Let's finish this. I won't finish. All right, shall I keep such for some of you, but you're washed and sanctified when ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our Lord. All things. He said, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. It's lawful. But not all things are. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. It's about God's way. Isn't that important? But I heard a pastor, we asked him, he was saying, pastor, he said, there's a lot of people that think they're going to make it to heaven, that are in these other worlds, in these other churches doing it, what they think. He said, yeah, I've heard that too. He said, what do you think? I think a lot of them aren't going to make it, and a lot of you aren't going to make it too. Because your lives aren't in harmony with God. He said, how are you going to make it to heaven? And then you're able to judge them because they're not doing right. But how about some of you? He said, I know some of the things you all are doing in here. But you're going to make it to heaven. Right? Be not deceived. God would never be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, as we all stand, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. I want to go through this whole journey and deceive myself. I don't want to just keep coming to church, hearing the word of God, and then come on, going out. I guess the young people said, now it's time for you to do you, right? It ain't about you. It's about surrender. It's not about doing things according to the standards as the elders, the ministers, and the altar workers, and the altar team comes forward. It's no longer about doing it your way. It's about surrender. To surrender said, search, listen to this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, Lord, and know my thoughts. See if there be any way wicked way in me, and do what? Now, he didn't say, he said, Lord, I want you to lead me. I'm not going to do it my way. After you search me, after you try me, Lord, I want you to lead me in the way. And Lord, how do I know what I've got there? Let the words, check out your words. Check out your speech. Because bitter and sweet water don't come out of the same fountain. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, make me to know I am in the measure of my days when it is. That I might know how to free of my time, hallelujah, of walking a faith walk. Anybody want to be real? Then it's time to surrender. No longer about doing it according to the world system. It's time to say yes to this will and yes to this way.